right, we're back again. And John and Amy here with Paddles Up. Let the current take you. The current is always taking us somewhere, even in the midst of the now. And the now is going somewhere. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to share about the pendulum swing. This is kind of like a mixed bag of spirituality, as far as pendulum swings going down the middle of the road, coming out of something and trying to find identity in another part of spirituality, mm-hmm. and all this. So
the
we're just gonna
on both sides.
Yeah, we're just gonna flow with it. The first thing that came to my mind was when we were discussing this together earlier was how we came out of a conditioning. And as far as religion, and we were talking to our new friend that we met at the gym the other day about a little bit about this and how we get so indoctrinated by a belief system that we really feel like it's the it factor, or we're on the cutting edge of something because the people in our group are all talking about how it is cutting edge, or how we have an edge on God, or because we have a revelation that somebody else may not have. Yeah. Unbeknownst to us, outside of our little box of religion, there were people way more advanced in knowing who God is and spirituality and the rest. And it was pretty amazing to have our eyes open to say, wait a minute, we're at the shallow end of the pool here when it comes to this. I mean, yes, we had a little depth like a lot of people do, but nothing compared to what we have experienced over the last, I would say, few years. Mm-hmm. The growth has been tremendous. And why is that? It's when we open ourselves up, not to anything, because then you can have some Klingons, whatever that looks like. But when you open yourself up to all that God wants to bring without spiritual bias,
right,
without conditioned bias, then you're open to move past the fear barrier, the mm-hmm. terror barrier, and then into the wide open spaces of safety and security and who He is and oneness.
Right.
And He's not going to lead us. God is not going to lead us down a path of deception. That's where deception comes from. This idea that man has to make up a doctrine to feel safe and secure. Mm-hmm. And then they package it really well and make it look pretty and sound good. And that's where the indoctrination of fear has its stronghold, because it's all about control.
Yeah.
And when you move past the boundaries of controlling religious spirituality, this is where true freedom comes in.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of times because we've been so programmed, whatever religion you've been in or anything, fear always binds, and it brings the limitation, you know, false evidence appearing real is one of the acronyms for it. And so what we don't realize is a lot of times God is trying to bring us out of our certain level, like kind of out of the sandbox you've been playing in for so long, and you know all the edges, you know the grains of sand, you've got it all down, it's an absolute for you. And God's like, okay, well, that was good when you were 3 or 4. I'm trying to move you into the playground now, where there's other kids on the playground and there's swings and different things and new experiences. But because we have been boxed in by our own reality and where we feel safe, we don't have a chance to move past that and grow. When God's trying to get you to take the limits off and not be afraid to experience things and feel him allowing you to learn something. But because we've been told, oh no, little Sally, don't leave the box. Don't go out of the four walls here. It's not safe out there. But the whole time your guidance is telling you, and God is telling you, I want you to experience this. There's somebody I want you to meet. I have a peace for you. And so I think this new generation that's out there, and then, of course, older generations that have not allowed themselves to be stagnant and they've stayed current, young at heart, they know that you can't put limits on God and how He's going to do something, or the messenger He's going to bring it through. And so I think, you know, if you really want the ultimate spiritual growth, is to just follow that inner guidance of God, whatever He's leading you and bringing you into. And yes, okay, you know, curiosity kills the cat, right? We do need to be aware and know what we're getting ourselves into, discerning. Not just be naive and blindly go into something, or just because, oh, let's just all be in love and love, you know, so I'm just going to go and try anything. I'm going to try, you know, any kind of drug. I'm going to try anything, you know, and, you know, sometimes you do, right? And you realize, oh, wow, okay, that was contrast. That's not it. But at the same time, now you just activated an area and now you got to be able to close that door in your life. And so it's like you want to make things easier for yourself. But again, you know, follow peace, right? God will always lead you through a peaceful path and be able to discern when it's fear talking to you, trying to cut you off from expansion.
Yeah. It's really true. And it's interesting because we know some people that have really, they've come out of religion and they've been really burned or hurt or abused, no matter what that religion is. Ours just happens to be Christianity in its institutional form. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're in no way walking away from Christ, the non-religious Christ, because yes. He has won our hearts. Yeah, he's won our hearts. And so we found him to be everything he says he is and more mm-hmm. away from religion. So he dips into religion to reveal himself, but he's in no way religious. And this is the thing that's being unveiled right now and being awake. We're awakening too, is that, you know, Jesus or God, whatever you are drawn towards, the reality of truth is being unveiled. Ours happens to be Jesus, not the religious one that you find in institutional Christianity, but the real one that knows every fiber of your being and humanity's being.
Absolutely.
And is everything he said he is and was, and he's true to that nature. And so is that religious? No, it's not. It's called relationship, and he dips into our own humanity in that oneness within to say, look, I don't need the religious lingo. I don't need you to perform for me. I don't need you to go out on a limb to say, hey, this is who I stand for with a big placard marching in a parade, telling everybody they're going to go to hell. That's not the Jesus that's real. That is the religious portrayal of Jesus. And so when we see people come out of the institution of Christianity because they've been so hurt and abused in some cases, then they do this pendulum swing. They find out, they find grace, they find love, unconditional love, and then they take that and couple it with their wounding, and they'll swing hard on that pendulum swing, like a swing going way up in the air. And then they'll go and they'll try all these things, shrooms and all of these psychedelic drugs, because they're trying to, they think that that's freedom. And if they're doing that to numb the pain, that's between them and God. But we've always saw this happen. It's like the pendulum swing has to come back down. It comes back down and it swings way over to the other side. And then it comes down and eventually settles in the middle somewhere. And so this message is about down the middle of the road. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go extreme on one side or the other, then you're going to have these right-wing, left-wing, fanatical type of identities that don't really serve humanity at its highest frequency or vibration. And so some of you are triggered by those two words as well, vibration and frequency. And the automatic response of a religious mentality is
fear.
New age, new age, new age. Well, I hate to tell you this, but like our friend Gerald said from Canada, Jesus is the new age to the old system.
Yes.
So perfectly stated, because he was labeled as new age to an old system that said, wait a minute, who are you? You're going to come and disrupt our control? I don't think so, pal. So then they killed him. God didn't kill him. They killed him. Man killed Jesus because he couldn't stand what he was doing to their religion and trying to come in with a different ideology that was actually freeing. So if you're listening to this and you don't really subscribe to Jesus, or you know, your guru is Buddha, or your guru is Muhammad, or whatever, because we do have a lot of listeners from all backgrounds listening to this podcast, that's okay. That's okay. What we're here to do is come down in the middle of the road and say, hey, we want to introduce you to the non-religious Jesus that isn't judging you. that isn't sitting there in judgment because you believe in Buddha.
Right. And Papa God is just so loving. I always coin him Papa God. He's a loving, loving father with a motherly nature. You know, he's all in one. But so many people have had a corrupt viewpoint because of the leaders at the head of God just being this dictator and judgmental and, you know, distant, present but absent father. And so I think this is why so many people, you know, they want to pull away and just make God, let's just call him the universe. Let's just keep him simple, which is fine, guys. We can't get tripped up on names.
Right.
Look at the intention of the heart and what's really going on. And maybe that's all they can cope with at the time, like because they had a really bad experience in religion. And so it's like, I still want to be connected with God, but I can't handle calling him father right now. I got to just call him the universe so I can at least still be connected. That's where I'm at right now. Right.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of reasons, right? Who are we to judge another man's heart? But our hearts are, like John said, we really want to showcase just how loving, aside from religion, because, you know, John and I both met, you know, God and Jesus and all this stuff on our own through just a personal encounter. I mean, yeah, I grew up in Christianity, but I was going through the motions like so many others. But it came a day when I was 14. I'm like, man, do I really even know this God that I'm, quote, serving? I mean, so I just decided to go up into my room in a quiet place and just start talking to him. Like, God, I want to know you. Like, are you real? You know, what is this whole thing about? And so just talking to him in my thoughts, right? And he just answered back in the most loving way and answered my thoughts. And it, like, I'd known him forever, because we're eternal beings. We really do know him forever. We've just forgotten, you know? But anyway, and he just taught me how to just do life with him and just on a day-to-day basis, not in a religious way. And just, I was learning so much wisdom from him and just journaling it down, writing it down, which I eventually put into a book to help people, because he said, I want people to know what I sound like and that I'm for them and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's simplicity, right? He said to become like a little child.
Yeah.
And all these things will be given to you. You know, you'll enter into the kingdom and all these things. So
yeah,
it's a lot more simple.
It is. And I want to go back to and really dig into this idea of God being a male figure, a father, a papa. You know, this is just what we ascribe to. And we consider chewing on this for a little bit. If you don't believe that, maybe you believe that God is a female. Maybe you believe God is just an it
or has no gender,
or a universe that's just kind of floating around out there that does love us. But maybe you don't just subscribe to that. And that's okay. We just want to share with you some thoughts on this. Think about it. There's a text in scripture that says that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Well, God is spirit, energy, and God is love. Those are two things that the Bible says in other writings in the ancient world that all kind of join together and agree on this. So let's just look at it if that's the case. Okay, so spirit and love, the spirit of love. Okay, and when you look at the family structure, if we're made in the image and likeness of love, then why in the world would we be male and female, male having the seed, and then giving that to the woman and producing children? Okay. And I'm not going to get into the sexuality part of this right now. That's not what this particular message is about, but we'll certainly dive into that later on, just sexual orientation and all that. But for reference sake, what I'm talking about here is the procreation, the creation part of this, is that there's no other way to really go about having children than to have a seed of a man going into a woman. That's the receiver. So the giver and the receiver. Now, why was that so? And then the male figure being so important, that so much so that the missing fathers in America and around the world have created this vacuum, this void of trauma
and
the father wound that's enormous. I think you could agree with that at some level, even if you don't believe that God is a male figure. Here's what I want to say about that. Is that God is so enormous and so vast and such a creator that why couldn't he manifest himself as a mother figure and a father figure when necessary, when needed? Mm-hmm. It's the nurturing side of God that really draws us in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like The Shack. If you've ever seen the movie The Shack or read the book, you would understand this, that the writer, Paul Young, the reason why he portrayed God as a woman, as Papa God as a woman, is because when he was going through his drama and trauma that he created, his infidelity to his wife, the only one that would stand by him is this black woman in church. The rest abandoned him. They're just like, oh, you're done. You're going to hell or whatever. Mm-hmm. The only one that would love him unconditionally was this black woman.
Yeah.
And so to him, that was God in that moment. So what we're saying is, because he can relate to God more than he can a male figure, because the male figure is abusive in his life.
Right.
So then
the female
mm-hmm. side of God was like, okay, I can relate to God this way.
Right.
So who are we to say that God cannot present himself or show up in a way that is male or female? So mm-hmm. God is love. Love shows up in many forms, mm-hmm. male, female. Okay. It's just like they're in the spirit, just like the scripture says that there's neither male nor female, but we're all one in love. We're all one in Christ. And what that simply means is we're one in love, unconditional love. And when unconditional love shows up, it could be in many different shapes and forms.
Right.
That's the important part of this for you, those of you thinking, well, I'm not going to call him a man. Because you're either a feminist or you're right. just, you've been wounded and traumatized by a father figure, and believe us, that is totally understandable here. Mm-hmm. We're not, there's no judgment coming from us when it comes to that. We understand what that could be like. But consider that this is a father that loves unconditionally. And see, that type of a father, let me back up for a minute. That type of a father that shows anger and wants to just dominate through egoic structure and control, that's the fallen side of the egoic nature in man. And the portrayal of that through religion.
That
put Jesus on the cross. So trust us when we say, look, we understand that type of thinking that I don't want to go anywhere near a man, or I don't want that father figure because my dad was a blankety blank.
Right.
Right. And we get it. However, we stand in the middle to say that there is such a good, good father out there mm-hmm. that loves you unconditionally, that wants to unveil himself and has been unveiling himself.
He's safe.
Through many different avenues. He's completely safe. And one other thing real quick is the egoic dominance of the male figure in the world has caused most of the problems. And mm-hmm. we understand mm-hmm. that. If you look at it through the wars, look at it through time and space, you'll see that it's a male dominant issue that's been plaguing the world with all of this anger and fury and wrath and
corrosive,
war. However,
acidic.
Something has changed. Mm-hmm. Something has changed recently to where we're moving towards the female side of God, mm-hmm. the feminine. And this is why you see the rise of men. And you got to understand what's happening here and have some discernment. You see the rise of men in the younger generation and the older generation. They're being more in touch with their sensitive side, more in touch with their feminine
emotions.
Side. And that whole caring, nurturing side. And guess what religion is labeling it? Or others, people that aren't awake are labeling it. Oh, look at the feminine, wimpy, wussy men that are, let's get some real men out there. You know, you hear this kind of stuff coming from the religious community a lot. Like, I want a real man. So then they double down in their egoic nature to try and be this masculine side without considering that we are awakening in our consciousness to the point where God is showing us something.
Right.
He's showing us something. The integration mm-hmm. of the male and female.
The two becoming one. And I wish you guys could hang out with my Meyer here, because you would see, you know, part of our marriage is a big part, because John, he really, and that's why I'm always saying, you got to help men, you got to teach the men, because he is really integrated. I mean, he has a strong masculine protector side, but he's also very in touch with his emotions. He's, what do you call that? Emotional intelligence. You know, he's very conscious of people's feelings or my feelings. He's a very good communicator. And so, you know, it's just, when I think of a model, He does a really good job in a lot of ways of just that balance and integration of both sides. And it's wild because a lot of men actually see this on him and they don't even know. They're like, I just got to be around you. I don't know what it is. And they feel the protector side of him. And then they also are allowed. It's like his presence gives them permission to start opening up to their emotional side that's been closed for so long. It's pretty amazing to watch. But I think, like John said, this is what's happening right now in this time of emergence. You know, God is wanting to bring this permission and release that you're allowed to be this way. You're allowed, and that he's bringing the balance, you know.
Yeah, and there's always extremes. You know, trust, you know, believe. We just say this, like, okay, hey, there's extremes. And what we do is interesting, is we look at and we point out the extremely negative. So you see something on TV or in a movie, or you see it in commercials, and you're like, oh man, look at this. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Look at how feminine that guy is.
What happened to the man? Where's the man?
Where's the cowboy studs? Let's get him back in here, you know? And I'm just like, people, ascend higher.
Ascend
higher and look at the 30,000 foot view level, so to speak, and watch what is being awakened throughout humanity. Don't look at just pockets. It's not wise to just look at pockets and say, oh, the world's, everything's going to hell. Instead of saying, okay, what could God, this is what I said and got in a lot of trouble for it on social media. I'll just say this about this whole idea of looking at things as a whole instead of a pocket form like we do through our lens that has mixture in it anyway. The ego, spirit, ego. And then it is a big mixture, and it depends on if we're dominant on one side or the other, then we're going to side with either ego or spirit.
Right.
Either our head or heart knowledge. So I remember saying this on social media back when the riots were going on, and the police movement, defund the police. Okay. And what I said, and it's a sensitive issue, still is today in a lot of the places, especially in America and some of these areas where there is a dominant racial issue. And I acknowledge that there is this idea of people, this totality of racism that is woven through the fabric of our nation. So I can see that viewpoint. You know, as a white guy and having black friends, I can see that, how it would be very troubling when there seems to be this thing that goes, you know, towards them, this violence from the police department and all that. But what I said was, could it be that the blacks and others that are being affected by this, you know, in the rioting and, you know, stealing and looting and all of the violence and all of that, they're lashing out to try to make a statement because they have no other way of causing us to listen. So they feel like, hey, look, I got to get your attention here because you're not seeing it. We've tried this through peaceful means. And so we don't know what else to do but let our ego go.
Yes, you're not hearing me.
And so what happens is the egoic nature takes over without them fully realizing it. And then, boom, you have this manifestation of this violence and things. So the point being was, I asked the question, could it be they're seeing something before its time with no police? You know, we envision a world of complete peace.
Yeah, which we're ascending into.
Which we're ascending into. And it's not the counterfeit one. It's the peace on all sides, like Solomon had.
Maturity.
Like some of the kings of old had. Peace on all sides. That is a heavenly, godly, ordained thing. That we could all be one and all be flooded with peace.
Yeah.
And treat each other with agape. Mm-hmm. Unconditional love. And so, could it be that they're seeing some of these leaders and people that started this whole BLM and all of that, some of them were seeing glimpses of a world where we could come together as one and literally have no need of police.
Right.
Now, by me saying that online, I got completely shredded by those that were still asleep. And I understand that. But they would say things like, oh, look at you, you're compromising. These people are filled with hate and all of these unconscious statements back towards me. And again, guys, go to the 30,000 foot view level and say, could it be possible that they were seeing something ahead of time, but didn't know how to let it unfold in a way that would be beneficial to all? It just manifested in egoic violence. And I'm not, there's no judgment towards them. Okay. So please don't misquote us or me saying that I have judgment towards blacks or anyone. I'm just making an observation here. That's all. Just making a simple observation saying, could it be possible that we see things ahead of time, but we want to act on them now before humanity's ready?
Yeah. Or we see them from a 5D lens, you know, where everybody is getting along and doing well, but we're still conveying it through an ego that hasn't fully been surrendered. And so, you know, we're bringing it out in a 3D version, and it's clashing. It's not sitting well because the 3D is dismantling, right? And so, it's just the last squeaky sounds of a clanging cymbal as the heart and the spirit are rising. And the new language is coming forth. It really, really is. And the new way of doing things is coming forth. It's just getting through this. Right.
Yeah. It's this disruption. And you hear a lot of that terminology, disrupt. I love this. Oh, I love this. Disruption and disturb. You hear this a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our buddy, The Rock, that has Under Armour, you know, the whole line of clothing in that Under Armour label. And
Johnson.
And so what's amazing about this is that, again, if you look at this from a broad view, he's coming out with a whole line that's all violet, purple, kind of shades of that indigo color that's the highest form on the spectrum of love, and bringing that out on the clothing and the shoes. And one of the shoe names is Disrupt 5. And it's like, okay, so really think about this quote prophetically when you're looking at things like this coming out. You see people with the purple hair. You see purple and violet and those indigo colors everywhere now. Well, that's another statement of, hey guys, I'm giving you a sign that love is here and it's rising in the consciousness of humanity. Now, this has nothing to do with religion, so keep your religion out of it, please.
But because it has everything to do with spiritualism.
It does. It really does. And mm-hmm. so disrupt. Think about that. Things are being disrupted without us disrupting them.
Yes.
They're being disrupted and erupting all on their own.
At every level, isn't it? You know, the broad spectrum and government and finances and housing and everything. And then all the way to the very core of your inner being where you're waking up and you're just like, man, I can't keep going to this job I've been doing why am I feeling pulled out of this job I've been in for 20 years? And I'm all of a sudden becoming conscious that this was never me. I did this for my parents, or I did this because society said I was supposed to. And I'm finally being honest with myself, saying I'm miserable in this and I'm disrupted in myself and it's time for me to change. It's kind of like, what is it? Something about a call to change is usually, what was it? It's not fear. But when something happens, it's usually a call to change.
Yeah.
So it's like this whole disruption obviously is a call to change. When things are disgruntled, disrupted, tearing up, turning up and over.
Dismantling, deconstructing, hearing all these words, these buzzwords, mm-hmm. but they all lead back to the same thing.
Right.
We're being
uprooted.
Uprooted and dismantled, disrupted for a reason. And it's all meant to bring us to this place of goodness mm-hmm. of, did you learn to love?
Yes.
We came here to learn unconditional love, period. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like in your life? What does that look like in our life? Well, each one of us is completely different, but it's as a commonality called oneness. We all begin to enter into this oneness when we become dismantled, deconstructed, whatever you want to call it, so that we're not doubling down in our egoic nature saying, oh, look, they're being deceived. You know, I could just see some right now that think that we completely are. And I want to read this to you real quick. This post I did just the other day, which I thought was interesting because it had a pretty good response. It says this: some folk thinking you going new age on them when they don't realize the new / next age is already upon us. Just because a person is speaking next age language doesn't mean they're jacked up in their theology. In fact, when a person awakens to all the religious conditioning they've been indoctrinated with, they soon realize just how deceived they are when it comes to religious conditioning. God's love is so unconditional that it takes an entire lifetime and beyond the next / new age to even see a fraction of a glimpse of just how much he loves all of humanity.
Yes.
And okay, the new age community. Let's just go there for a minute. It's sometimes we label something, no matter what it is, and because we're searching. And so we find a security and a safety by labeling it New Age or labeling it Satanism or labeling it a denomination, whatever the flavor is. We find a safety and security because we found a, quote, truth there. Even the Satanists believe that they are living a truth, mm-hmm. or any religion, you know. So if we believe that we're living a truth, sometimes we think that that's the fullness of that truth.
Right.
And so New Age, when you hear the word New Age, what does that do to you right now?
Does it trigger you?
Does it trigger you?
Or does it make you curious and want to hear what they have to say?
Yeah, because there's truth in just about everything. Mm-hmm. And so we found that there's such beautiful, wonderful people in that whole community. But one of the things that we look and observe, again, from a high point of view here, and this is with any religion, not just calling them out, is we find our little symbolic things to find security and safety in, like the crystals and our necklaces and our dance and our movements and our, you know, expressions and our revelations, and all of that culminates into a safety and security.
Yeah, an identity.
An identity that says, hey, I've found something now. Whereas when you look at childlikeness, in a child always remains curious and open and doesn't camp out. You notice with a child, they don't camp out on a, quote, truth saying, this is it. I'm not going anywhere else. I'm not doing anything else. This is it.
They're eager to keep growing.
To keep learning.
They're always wanting to learn something new and keep growing.
Yeah. So, you know, we used to sit there and judge other groups, you know, and it was, now that we look back on it, I just so... It'll make you sick if you sit there and dwell on it too long. So we try not to. We just move it. That's in the past. We stay in the present now. But it's just grieving to think that we're pointing fingers at other groups saying, look at them. They're so deceived. Not realizing how deceived we were in the institutional world of Christianity.
Pointing one finger, there's three pointing back at you kind of thing, you know? And then Jesus said, remove the log out of your own eyes before you can remove the speck out of your brother's, you know. It's just, it's crazy. It's the age-old saying that without understanding, abuse is inevitable. We abuse the things we don't understand. And where's that coming from? Where does all abuse come from? Fear. So we have to abuse something to dominate it to feel safe and secure. And it's just, it's crazy. Instead of having open hearts and seeing from God's point of view, who did not create any religion. He's simply love and relationship and for every individual, you know? But what we've seen it doesn't matter what faith of religion it is. It's we were going to talk about this, where we've got the middle path, right, of enlightenment, the path of light, your journey of why you're here, your growth, your earth school, all that kind of stuff. And then on the two sides, you've got these ruts, right? And they're usually encompassed with the ego. So one side, you've got the secular, you know, climbing the ladder in the secular of the ego, of that path of ambition to meaning. And then on the other side, your ego kind of switches over. Okay, I'm done with that. Now I know I won't make it in the secular. So now I'm going to switch over to enlightenment into the spiritual world. And we think, you know, our soul thinks, I'm free. All right. I'm done with the ego. And we don't realize how sneaky our ego is to just pick that mantle right back up into spirituality. Yeah. So now we start learning all the protocols, reading all the books, climbing the spiritual ladder. And now we're dealing with the spiritual ego on that side because we still want to be in control. And we want to find an identity and security. It's like both ruts are the I'm not okay. It's the same with the pendulum. Both sides of the pendulum is I'm not okay, so I've got to swing into this doctrine. So I got to swing into, you know, the pendulum, right? Swing into this doctrine or swing into that doctrine or try this, try that. And so again, what we haven't gotten to the root of the whole thing of the I'm not okay inside. So when you hit that middle path, it really is the path of surrender. And, you know, the ambition to meaning, you have let go. And this is why we love, you know, the whole thing of paddles up, let the current take you. You finally come down into that centeredness of letting and allowing the current, allowing God to finally guide you. Because when we swing into the spiritual ego of things, we're still trying to control things. Let's be honest. You know, we like the idea of a, you know, universe out there, but I'm not going to bring you too close. I'm going to keep you as an it and a universe. You're way out there. So I don't have to be accountable to anything or anyone. You know, I'm my own higher self. And yes, I do believe we have a higher self. We're dimensional beings. But to say I'm my higher self, that's it, that's all there is, really, you know, then how come we still have this desire deep within us and this remembrance deep within us that there's something greater than us out there, right? Did you really create yourself, you know?
Yeah, so instead of focusing, this is the whole point, instead of focusing on this identity and spirituality, mm-hmm. which is so easy to do, guys. We've been there, done that. I don't know how many times, you know, trying to climb the spiritual ladder without even realizing.
Right?
And many, many times we have good hearts in all of this. All we're doing is saying, why not just blow this gate wide open and just say, I don't need any identity in the things because that's what's controlling my life. I'm trying to control through things. Mm-hmm. Through protocols, processes, and identical symbolisms, and all of that, where I now I'm identifying with this.
Right now, I learned nature, so I can speak the language, and now understand all the meanings of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our nature is to really dive in and say, okay, now I've got. It doesn't matter what it is. I've got children. So you've been waiting to have children. So my life is my children. You ever hear mothers say that? Of course mm-hmm. you have. My life is my children. Well, what we've done is we've just put ourselves in the beautiful box of having children, of course, but it's a box. And we're saying, and this is my identity. Mm-hmm. Or I've met my dream guy. I met my dream wife. And then your whole life is poured out into that person saying, this is who I am now. Instead of the present moment of no labels, no symbolisms, yeah. no biases, no judgments, no boxes, and say, I am bigger than all of this, and allow the transformation process of love to take us in the current wherever love is taking us. And I guarantee you, it is the most fun, adventurous ride when we have no agenda, no plan, right. no identities in anything other than I am one with love.
Yeah.
I'm one with the yeah. God who made it all. And I've let go of control so that the current of spirit can truly yeah. take us downstream into the wide open spaces of unlimited possibility.
And what a relief. You don't have to sit there and try to figure your life out anymore. You don't have to figure out how to do this and figure out how to do that and attach yourself to all these outcomes. You know, same again with spiritual climbing the ladder and spirituality. We get so worn out and so frustrated because we have an outcome we need to obtain and get to and accomplish in order to feel secure and be okay. And it's just, again, it's the same cycle. To where you end up right back down in surrender and going low, where the pendulum finally relaxes and lands down in the center of surrender. So, and you know, we're not saying that these things are bad, like, you know, crystals or the singing bowls or anything like that. They're all tools. It's really the matter of the intention you put to it, to not make it bigger than you. Allow it to be a tool that helps you enter into getting to know God further, but don't make it like, I can't know God if I don't have this thing, or if I don't have all my necklaces and all my symbols and all these things, and you become all garbed out and you've put all your power into those things instead of the simplicity and childlikeness of just bypassing that all and entering into a daily relationship with God. They're yeah. just there to kind of help open your eyes to things. It's an awe and wonder moment, right? When you see the amazing beauty of a gemstone or a diamond and it has the frequency, but it's meant to bring you back to his heart, not to make it the it factor or it your power exactly. source, you know, you're way more powerful than the gemstone. You just don't know it yet. And those gemstones are honoring you. All creation is in love with who you are because they know you're a child of God. And so, you know, we're all learning, we're all growing. We all have our current understanding on things, but we're just sharing kind of what we're observing right now. And hey, it could all change, right? Exactly. We're always expanding and learning and doing our best to be flexible. But we just thought we'd share some of those thoughts. And please don't take this as a whole of where we stand. Again, how do you fit in truth into a small amount one podcast? You know, just hear our hearts. That's what we ask. Hear our hearts and the intention of what we're sharing. And want to just pique your interest and your thoughts as well.
Yeah, because if the minute we label, the minute we throw judgments around, you know, it's funny. This happens quite frequently on social media, and I'm sure it's happened to you where, you know, that quote I read earlier about the next age and new age, inevitably somebody shows up and just says, you, this is a bunch of heretical garbage, you know, you're going to fry in hell kind of thing.
They wrote them on there, yeah.
And then they use a scripture to put it in there. And this is everything that's wrong with religion.
Exactly.
Because first of all, this individual doesn't know me from Adam. It doesn't know me at all. And to not inquire, and you know, we've been guilty of this in the past too, but to slow down a little bit, a minute, and just say, hey, what did you really mean by that? Because I'm curious, rather than stuck in egoic nature, because really that's where that comes from.
And triggered
by a title, triggered by a statement, mm-hmm. rather than finding out, isn't this what we do with race? Isn't this what we do with everything? We throw judgments around like it's candy. How about we look for no judgment?
Yeah.
And leave that to the pay grade of the one that created it all.
Yes.
Who isn't judging, by the way.
Right.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to throw my judgment around because I am not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, I'm not okay inside. And I'm disturbed.
Right.
And this is the judgment that I speak because I'm not okay.
Until you agree with me. Once you agree with me, then I'm okay. Right? Isn't that what it comes down to?
This is why we
said, if you don't agree with me, then you're demonic. You're, you know, something's wrong with you. But the moment you agree, oh, there's peace. Wow. That's a crazy life to live. Because how are you going to control the whole world and everybody in it?
Yeah.
That's something to rethink, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And this is why I've often said the ego is bigger than we first imagined. We think it's this little thing we can tell sit in the back seat. When it's so programmed and conditioned and it is the bigness of the human experience if we allow it to be. And this is why we have the problems in the world that we do, the divisiveness, the wars, the trauma and the drama, the political scheme and arena of things. It's all about control.
Yeah.
And ego is the byproduct, or control is the byproduct of ego. And so it's like, it's about me and my foe and no mo. And when we have that attitude and we live in it, you see it everywhere.
Right.
And it's like, when we live in that, when we make that the priority, it's no wonder we have so many shootings and we have so many problems in the inner cities and we have so many problems in the suburbs and the rich and the poor and all everyone in between. And everybody's got their own opinion, their own bias. And when we live and move and have our being in that without considering, wait a minute, is this really serving my life and everyone else's to its highest? No, it's not. So we stand in the middle, mm-hmm. and we invite you to do the same. Stand in the gap, be the bridge between the two. If you've left the box of religion, and you've done the pendulum swing and you've smoked all the weed and done the shrooms, or maybe not at that extreme. If you've gone over and you went out and got drunk, or you just sat down and binge watched movies or went shopping or whatever it is for your pendulum, and you're coming back to the middle, you've seen both sides of this thing.
Right.
And now you're ready for service. You know, one of the best movies I've seen recently.
To be serviced.
Yeah. One of the best movies I've seen recently, and I'll recommend it to anybody, is American Underdog. And it's a story about the famous football player that was a quarterback. And his name is eluding me right now. I apologize. But just, it's American Underdog, if you haven't seen it. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. And really what it is it's a story about, it's a real true, genuine story about his life and coming up and how he was the underdog and nobody wanted to pay attention to him really, but he had a strong arm to be a quarterback. But I won't give the whole movie away, but there's key lines and key phrases in that movie that'll just rock you if you watch for them and listen. And especially for you middle-agers right now, people that are middle-aged, we have a lot of our audience is middle-aged, a lot of them in their 40s and younger too, but we have a lot of middle-aged. And one of the things that keeps coming up is I'm past my prime, or it's too late, yeah, or what's lost, the point? Yeah. I feel lost now because I used to identify religion. Now I can't. I'm too young or too old to party, so that's out. I have kids, and so you're right in the middle. You're right in the middle anyway. This is prime time to say, don't count me out. Count me in. Why? Because you have the experience and you're ready for it. You're going to hear that phrase in the movie too. You're now ready for it where you weren't before, because mm-hmm. you have some life experience. You have some wisdom and understanding, and the judgments are fading where you're so judgmental before.
Right.
Now you're like, oh, wait a minute. Do I really have more of the heart of God? Well, imagine that.
Yeah. You know, learning to let go. Let go and let God, right?
Yeah. So we encourage you. We encourage you. This is really meant to encourage everyone. But we just encourage you to say, don't throw in the towel in a way that's resentful or bitter. Mm-hmm. Allow that to just sit with it. Just sit with it and say, it's okay to feel this way. Which religion will never give you permission to do that.
Right.
They'll always want you to force and resist and push against it as if it's some wicked thing, instead of acknowledging that hurt, wounded child in you that said, you're not enough, or you can't add up, or it's over. Just sit with that child that's been wounded inside of you and just say, it's okay to feel this way, little Johnny, little Susie, little Amy.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel this way, and allow yourself
a lot of grace
to sit with the grace and let love heal it.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's such a good place to be. And that's all a part of being on that middle path of surrender, is you're surrendering the judgments you've had on yourself. You're surrendering
so good.
The extreme criticalness and just being so hard on yourself because you couldn't obtain either side. So you end up in the middle feeling like a failure. And that's usually when you do surrender, because you're like, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I can't do this job. I can't do this role. I can't do this identity. I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know where's God anymore, you know, and religion. And you just end up smack dab in the center, and you throw your paddles up and you allow God's current within you just to start carrying you and being carried. You know, that's the whole thing. When you're done suffering and you're ready to be done suffering, you allow God to finally carry you, because your pride is shot, right? Yeah. And what a glorious place to be.
It is.
And you start learning what love's all about, where you don't have to do anything to earn his love. You get to surrender into his love and into the grace. And so, yeah, again, just say, I'm allowed to receive grace. I'm allowed to be okay. I'm allowed to be different. I'm allowed to. And just let his unique current in your unique path guide you.
Awesome. All right. We're going to drop it right there.
All right.
And until next time, watch for the new one on paddlesup.fun. And please share this message if it's touched you in some way.
Yeah. And we'd love to hear the feedback. Thanks again for your feedback, guys. We love it. So, okay, well, we will talk again soon.
All right.
Have a great day.
Paddles up.